If I just thinking about it. Hey, today we're going to be talking about a subject that needs to be applied, not talked about. And I want to encourage you to listen very carefully to what the Lord has for us today. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 20. And I'm coming there, but I'm gonna be a minute. And so I'm going to ask you to go to Matthew chapter 20 and begin with verse 11. Today we're going to talk about repentance. That's what we're going to talk about. I'm sure if you received a bulletin when you came in, you saw the 84, I think it is, sins that are listed there that are mentioned in the New Testament. And I am going to unconditionally refuse to apologize for what I'm going to say to us. I'm going to challenge each person in here who considers themselves to be a Christian, whether you're 8 years old or 800 years old. I don't care. I'm going to challenge each one of us, even if we have to break it down into sections of five, sections of three, sections of two, one a day. But I'm going to challenge all of us to go home and each day take one of these sins and pray until we know they're not in our life. Till we know that we've repented of those sins, that we have turned from them. I heard a wonderful story this morning about a Sunday school class and how hard they're working to do outreach, and they're doing all these wonderful things. And I say, praise the Lord, good job, keep going. But listen, if we're not a repentant people, if people don't see salvation and repentance lived out, you know what they'll get? They'll just get another watered-down version of a gospel that the world offers. And so we have to take the responsibility. I say this too much maybe, but listen, we all tend as Southern Baptists as a whole, we tend to want to blame this group, and we want to think that this politician is going to save us, and if we would just stop doing that, then everything would be fine. And not a single word of that's true as far as the solution. The solution is when God's people who are called by His name humble themselves and pray. And that's what we got to do. And this, what we're talking about today, if you would allow me to say, what do I think is going to happen to the United States of America? The question is not what is going to happen to the United States of America. The question is, will God's people repent? Because if God's people will repent, the United States of America will be fine. But if God's people continue down the track we're going, then we have to realize we're the problem. So, enough. Now, I've been leading up to this message for many weeks. I know you wouldn't know that. Ryan knows it because he and I talk about it. But listen, it started out in Isaiah 55, talking where God said, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so through that, I started in John chapter 4, and first we looked at transforming prayer. And I want to encourage you to spend time daily in prayer. And I'm talking about transforming prayer, where you praise the Lord, you thank the Lord, you confess your sins, you pray for other people, you pray for yourself, you listen to what the Lord has laid on your heart, and then you ask Him to give you the strength to do it. But then we also looked at worship. And listen, true worship is, as God said in John 4:24, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We can worship Him wherever we are at any time, but not in any way. It has to be through Jesus. And today, I hope that when you go out the door today, and I'm going to say this for all of us, not just you, us collectively, I hope we go out those doors today with a broken heart. And I hope that our hearts are broken over our sin, over what our sin have cost, what happens when we just ignore them, or worst of all, say, well, when I was 8 years old, I asked God to forgive me of all my sins, and so now I'm 57, and I'm still living off of a prayer that was prayed 49 years ago. And we want to be people who understand that sin hurts people. Sin hurts relationships. Sin hurts churches. Sin hurts businesses. Sin hurts friendships. Sin hurts people. It hurts families. It hurts cities. And it hurts nations. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, God is on His throne and He's ready to do what He always does. But in verse 2, the first word is but. And it seems like there's always a but, doesn't it? Always a but. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And I hope that you'll notice in that verse that our sins don't separate us from him. Our sins separate him from us. God is holy. He is righteous. He is pure. And we have to acknowledge that any time we allow sin to be in our life, it hurts everything. And so the next question I have is very simply this. Well, who does sin hurt? And I'm telling you, sin hurts everybody. Sin across the board hurts everybody. As we were over at the rodeo share, and I talked with a young man who's had kids. I didn't know he had four. He had a little bitty, precious little girl with him. And she was probably 3 or 4 or 5. I'm not a very good guesser at their age. But as I talked to this guy, he said he had been in church up until the age of 16, but he had left church. I would say he was in his early 40s. He had left church when he was approximately 16 years old, just walked away and hadn't gone back. And as I talked to him and shared the gospel with him, it was literally, he was about 3 feet away from me, and you could literally in his face see the tug of war. You could see God pulling him this way, but you could see the world, and you could see whatever his habit was that I didn't ask, but you could see him pulling this way. And you could just look at his face, and you could just see him going back and forth. And finally, in his struggle, he just looked at me and said, "What do you want me to do?" And I said, "Nothing." I said, "Because if you do what I do, you'll walk right down there and somebody else will tell you what to do." But you know what? That little girl was running around and doing what little girls do. And I looked at that guy and I said, "Hey," I said, "do you not know that sin is generational?" I said, "Do you not realize that the way God has ordained the family, nobody will have a greater influence." By this time I knew he had 4 children. "Nobody will have a greater influence spiritually on your 4 children than you, Dad." That's the way God made it. That is the way God made it. And listen, my mother took us to church. My sister could tell you that. But listen, my dad went when he wasn't working. But listen, nobody is going to have a greater influence spiritually on children than Dad. And if Dad throws it away or Dad don't do it, I was like, "Look at her, man. Look at her. Don't you think she deserves to have a dad that lives a godly life in front of her?" And he walked off. Hey, that's the reality of the world that we live in. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, the Lord's speaking through Moses, says, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them," talking about idols, "for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." It's generational. Don't say your sins don't matter. Don't let me ever say my sins don't matter, because I know they do. They're generational. And I hope that you come to a place in your life where you're faced with a choice and you say, "I am not going to unleash that on my grandchildren. I'm through with the children. Y'all can look at my hair and tell, you know." But you know what I'm saying? You look at it, you're faced with the consequence, and you say, "I'm not going to do that because I am not going to unleash that on my children. That is a generational sin, and it is not going to come into my family through my choices." In Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, it says, "But it shall come to pass that if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and all his statutes which I've commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Verse 16 says, "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country." And it just goes on and on and on. Sin always has and always will bring curses. For you young people in here today, there are a plenty of us old folks in here that can tell you, we have disobeyed God's word, and we never got to the end of it and said, "Boy, I'm glad I did that." Where's the hand? There ain't many. Because we've all done it. We've all been there. We've all made the mistake. And we want to say, I'm going to speak for every old person in here collectively, don't make the mistakes we made. Amen, old people? Amen. Don't make the mistakes. I should not have called y'all old people. I guess that's not politically correct, is it? I was referring to myself and somehow lumped you in. So, but It's still true, right? What, no matter what I say, it's still true. And listen, repentance is essential. Because when we repent, there's two parts of it. The first part is turning from our sin. But you know what the best part of repentance is? It's not that when we turn from our sin, which means to stop. The best part of it is when we turn to the Lord. And we realize there's a God in heaven that loves us. Listen, if you've ever felt like that God is done with you, had enough of you, or turned your back, his back on you, I want you to hear me say this. God knew what you were going to do before you did it. God knew what we were going to do before we ever even did it. And so if he loved us before, he knew we were going to do it, so he loves us the same after, because it did not surprise him or catch him off guard. But what we have to do is we have to make the determination that we're going to allow the Lord to get the sin out of our life. Now, did you notice how carefully I chose my words there? Did you notice I didn't say, I'm going to get the sin out of my life? I don't believe I can. I don't believe I can. But I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can do it. And so it's through surrendering to him. And when a person repents, repentance makes an inward change that becomes a visible reality. Listen, when a person receives Jesus Christ and the Lord moves into their life, that person has to realize that God is going to slowly but surely work his way out from the inside. He is going to change us. He is going to make us into what he wants us to be. He is going to transform us. He is going to start making the determinations about words that we say. He's going to make the determination about places we go. He's going to make a determination about the things that we do. And through that determination, we're going to start to change and start to become a different person who lives their life a different way. Now the question then becomes, well, how is repentance measured? This is my favorite part. Repentance is measured with a calendar. With a calendar. It's not measured with words. It's not measured with tears. It's measured with a calendar. And what I mean by that is, it's because at this day, today is February the 2nd, 2020, you make the decision, you're going to repent of a sin. And when February the 2nd, 2021 comes around, guess what won't be a part of your life? Right? Now listen, I want y'all to look at me and I want y'all to hear me. Jesus saved us from sin, not to sin. All right, come on now. Jesus saves us from sin, not to sin. And so when our heart is in a right love relationship with God, and we come to the place that God wants us to be, man, he sets us free. He sets us free from our sin. And that's my next point, that the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus breaks the bondage of sin. Listen, there are lots of different things that we can do. But if we don't realize that there is something, I call it a death spiral. It's just a downward spiral. And it starts with this one little sin, maybe a lie, boy, whatever. It doesn't matter. Probably shouldn't even say that. But it starts. And as soon as we justify that one little thing, we just make an exception. And this is what the exception sounds like. Oh, everybody does it. Right? No, nobody's perfect. Oh, we love that one, don't we? Well, the problem is there's somebody that is perfect. And we're going to stand before him in eternity. And at that moment when we're standing before him, everybody's going to be perfect. Because it's going to be him and us. And listen, we have to realize the easiest thing to do is justify our sin. But when we start justifying them and we start rationalizing and we start explaining of why it's okay and listen, it's this and it's that, and all we're doing is setting ourselves up for the next one. And what we know, because we've all lived this, we know that the next one's going to be a little bit worse. But the conviction is not going to be quite as much. And listen, you can bury the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You can bury it under the weight of so much sin, under so much junk, under so much garbage that you can even sin and not even realize it. The example in the Bible was David, man after God's own heart. man committed murder and adultery first, and then murder. And listen, God sent the prophet to talk to him. David didn't even know what he was talking about until he was confronted with his sin, and the prophet said, "You are the man." Didn't even know it. Didn't even realize it. He had justified it. He had worked it all out. Nobody knows. It's going to be okay. It didn't hurt anybody. And he missed it until he was standing in front of the prophet. Well, this is the last point about repentance. Repentance demonstrates real faith. Real faith. I believe that as far as my own life is concerned, I will not speak for you, but I believe that a person's, the importance that a person places on repentance is what determines their value to the kingdom. Listen, we're all sinners. We all fall short. We all commit sin. I didn't want to say make mistakes. We all commit sin. But the question is, what do we do next? What do we do next? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible just simply says, "Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance." The word fruit, as it's used in the Bible, it refers to evidence. Do you know what the fruit of repentance is? The fruit of repentance is a changed life. A fruit of repentance is when we can say to anybody at any time, any place, "Yes, I did do that, and I'm sorry, but I have repented." Now, there's two things before we look at the sheet. I want to mention two people that play prominently at the very last hours of Christ's life. One is a man named Judas. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Yeah, Judas, all right? Now, if you read in your Bible, you will find that Judas, he betrayed Jesus, all right? He betrayed him. But there's another man in the Bible, his name is Peter, and Peter denied Jesus. And there's a tremendous difference in what they did. But what I want to call your attention to, if you read in your Bible about Judas, the Bible says that Judas was remorseful. Judas was sorry his plan didn't work out, and he got caught. That's what Judas was. But Peter, the Bible says, he was repentant. He repented of his sin. He acknowledged, he confessed, he agreed. He knew that he had denied Christ. Now, when I think about their two sins, I will tell you, they're different because the Bible makes that clear. Clearly Judas betrayed and Peter denied. I know that most everybody in here, unless you're new, you know, my wife died a couple years ago, but I'm going to tell you something. If my wife would have ever said, "No, he's not my husband," I don't know who that is. I couldn't imagine that. But could you imagine when Peter denied even knowing who Jesus was to the point of using curse words? Can you imagine that? But you know what? Peter repented. He repented. And I know that if we passed this mic around and we started with Dawn and went all the way back around to Ryan, we'd all be shocked at what some of us had done. I don't think anything in here worse than what I've done. But we'd be shocked. And when we know that we've done things that we shouldn't do, the biblical call is to repentance. I want you to look at the insert. It says prayer guide sends in the New Testament. I brought mine from the last time. I got both. I got my old one and my new one. And the last time I wrote on this was February 8th, 2017. So I guess that's coming up on 3 years ago. But I want to encourage you with all that is within me to take this list of some 84 things. And what's been amazing to me in the times that I've seen people holding this list, and I hadn't talked to anybody about it this morning, but what always amazes me is a person will look at the list and say, well, I've never done that. Right? Right? There are 83 other things on there, but we'll look at the list and say, well, I never did that. And this is what I want to encourage us to do. I want to encourage each one of us to start there. They're in alphabetical order. And maybe your time only allows you to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or maybe you hit a good run, and maybe you can honestly say that that sin's not a part of your life, and so you can move forward pretty quick. But this is what I want you to do, and I'm making a commitment that I'll do the exact same thing. I want you to take this list, and I want you to go home, and I want you to get out a piece of paper, and I just want you, in an attitude of prayer and humility, us in an attitude of prayer and humility before the Lord, to just start with the first one. And just let the Lord speak to us about that sin. And not just go up, well, A, B, R, C, D, R, here, we're here, we're moving. But do you realize how easily it is for us to sin? And how easy it is for that sin to so much become a part of our life that we don't even realize it. And it's written right in the pages of the Bible. All right? And so what I want us to do then is to go down through there, and, you know, like backbiters, that's talk about people behind their back. You know? Now, I don't raise your hand. All right? Don't raise your hand. But if you raise your hand and say you have never talked about anybody behind their back, every one of us is going to go home and talk about you behind your back. We're going to be like, yeah, me too, right? Right? Do you know how easy it is to talk about somebody behind their back and never one time think it's sin? Come on now. Come on. Well, I think you should do that to their face. Robert said if you praise them behind their back, I think you should tell somebody to their face when they've done good. But listen, when you look at this list, bitterness, all these things, and listen, I was just going to say this about myself. I don't think this is going to be a two-minute exercise. All right? I'm not going to make any promises, but do you know how easy it is to let, like, the sin of boasting? I mean, do you know how I'm just looking, you know, complaining. Do you know how easy it is to complain? I mean, do you know how easy it is to complain? I mean, defiling the body, denying Christ. I mean, just dishonesty, you know. I mean, you just look down through there. I mean, double tongue, talking out of both sides of your mouth. You know, do you know how easy it is to do those things and never so much as one time think about it? Never. Because we've done it our entire life, and everybody else that we know other than Jesus does it. And we don't think nothing about it. We don't think nothing about it. Well, this is what I really wish we could do, but we're not going to do this. But I really wish we could go right down that crack right there. That means Angela and Michael will be on two different sides, but y'all not, because we're not going to do that. And I honestly wish, and honestly, I cannot tell you how much I wish that we could do this. But the people on this side would take it serious, and the people on this side wouldn't. And come back next week. Come back next week. Let this side talk about their relationship with Christ. Let this side talk about what they learned about themselves. Let this side say, I never knew I was such a sinful person. Some people on this side would say, I'm not done yet. Some people on this side would say, I'm still in the A's. Right? And people on this side would be amazed. Say, but I'm not really that bad. Come on now, right? But you know what? The easiest thing to do is take that list and act like you're putting in your Bible and miss and set it down on the seat beside and get up and go home and say, man, are we going to Sonny's or Dickie's today? Right? Come on now. Come on now. Y'all were going with me for a while. Now y'all starting to put the brakes on. Right? And listen, I just want to say this, and then we'll go into the invitation. We're about done. When is the last time your heart broke over your own sin? When is the last time your sin ate you up? When is the last time you felt like, ugh, the conviction, the weight of the Lord was upon you? Now, there's two things that I want to say, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11. First is, we have to clarify the difference between conviction and condemnation. All right, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, now therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, if you look at your life and you think about something you did in 1972 and you're like, oh, that's the devil. That's the devil. But the Bible says in the book of John, Jesus tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to convict us of our sin. And the difference between condemnation and conviction is what Jesus did. When you find yourself under condemnation, you're thinking about what you did. When you find yourself under conviction, you're thinking about what Jesus did. And you have this thought, Lord, I cannot be a Christian and act like that, say that, or do that. And so, Lord, I just got to come back to you. And I'm going to pray David's prayer in Psalm 51. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a steadfast spirit that I might not sin against you. God, I have sinned. I have messed up. Now, when you take your list, I would recommend this. First, you confess. The word confess in the Bible doesn't mean what it means today. When we use the word confess, we use it to mean I did it. That's not what it means in the Bible. To confess in the Bible means to agree with the consent of another. And so when you go down through here and you choose your sin and you know you've done it, you're not, Lord, I am guilty of bitterness. It's God, your word says that I am not to be bitter. And God, my heart is filled with bitterness. All right? And so when you voice that sin back to God, you voice it in a way you're agreeing with what his word says. You're not just saying, yes, I did it, yes, I did it, yes, I did it, yes, I did it. Every time you're going to confess that back to God and say, Lord, I know your word says that's not supposed to be in my heart. That's not supposed to be in my life. And Lord, the reason I got to get it out is because you said it's got to go. And then you repent. You confess, you repent, Lord, I'm sorry. I know that I did that. I know that it was wrong, and I cannot have sin in my life. All right? Now, you're going to get the same. We're going to close out in verse 20 of chapter 11, Matthew. And we're going to close out with basically what I wish I could have told that guy at the rodeo. In verse 20, the Bible says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they would not go to Sunday school. Right? Because they would not put a tithe in the offering. Is that what it says? Why did he rebuke the cities in which his mighty works had been done? Because what would they not do? Not repent. Hey, I'm going to say what I said 2 weeks ago. 2 Chronicles 7:14, one of the greatest verses in the Bible that was never heeded. If my people were called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven, heal the land, send rain, all that stuff. They didn't do it. They didn't. They did not listen. And if you'll notice in verse 24 of Matthew 11, it said, but I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And you know what Jesus is telling us? Jesus is telling those of us that have lived in the light our whole life. We've had Bible after Bible after Bible after Bible. We have been to church after church after church after church after church. We've heard and we've heard and we've heard and we've heard, but we just never did anything. And did you read Jesus' words? I mean, most of us think Sodom got it pretty rough. Fire fell from heaven. Most of us use that as an example of the people that were cursed by God. And Jesus said it's going to be better for them than for you. That's why we can't toy with our sin. That's why it not only matters today, but it matters in the day to come. But here's the invitation. At that time, Jesus, this is verse 25, answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight that all these things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son reveals him, will reveal him. And then this is what Jesus said. When you look at that list and you think about your life, do you honestly want to make this noise? Ugh. Am I the only one? Just, I've been in enough trouble in my life to know when you're done. You know what I'm saying? You know, be your mama or school, you know when you're like, they done had enough and isn't. And you look at that list, I hope you look at that list and go, ooh. And you know what Jesus says to those of us that go, ugh? He says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm going to tell y'all something. This old man sleeps really good at night knowing. Really good at night knowing. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, yes, and yes. But the God I serve is greater than my sin. And I cannot run around wringing my hands over my sin and say that I've been given rest. Are you tired of your sin? Are you tired of carrying them around? Are you tired of lugging them around? Are you tired of them being in your family? Are you tired of seeing them generationally? Jesus says, come on. Come on. And I will give you rest. Is anybody in here tired? Jesus says, come on. Come on. Man, that good word. I mean, man, it's a good thing I'm holding this mic. I'm trying to fly or something. Give you rest. You know what everybody's looking for? Rest. I would say, raise your hand if you're tired. We all tired. Tired. And then, in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what Jesus says in those couple of three verses? Jesus says, put down the weight of religion. Put down the weight of your sins. Put down the weight of your sorrow. And let me give you rest. But Jesus does not leave us as an animal standing in the stall. He repurposes our life and he sends us out to serve him. To serve him. And listen, we cannot serve the Lord and sin too. And all of us have to choose. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, we know that your word tells us that it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, God, I pray that today each person in this room will realize we cannot have a vibrant, life-changing relationship with you and live in sin. And each one of us has to choose. We have to choose between our sin and our Savior. And so, God, I pray that today your conviction would just sweep over our hearts. God, you would show us those things that we've done that we didn't even realize it was a sin. But God, you know our motives, you know our reason, and so God, it is a sin. It's a sin against you. And God, I pray that today we would realize that your word tells us in Luke chapter 13, verse 5, that if we don't repent, we will perish. So we do not get to have it both ways. every one of us in this room has to choose. And we have to either choose our sin or we have to choose our Savior. But we cannot have both. And so, God, as we go into this invitation today, I pray that we would choose you. That we would realize that you are life and you want us to live an abundant life. And you want us to live a life that is really closed off to us because we have no earthly idea what you want to do. But, Lord, my prayer is that your will would be done and that we would allow you to be God and we would just trust you. And if you tell us that something is wrong, that we won't justify and we won't argue, we'll just repent, turn from our sins and turn to you. Lord, we love you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you need to understand something. You're missing out on the greatest blessing in the entire world. That blessing is not having me as your pastor. That blessing is not being in Sunday school with this group of people. That blessing is walking every day with the Lord God Almighty. The Lord God Almighty. And if you know you're not saved, and I know that there are always people here who are not, if you know you're not saved, listen, you're turning your back on the greatest gift that's ever been offered to you. And you are choosing some sin, something that's temporary, something that is only going to last to the grave, and you're going to step into eternity to face the Lord, and you're going to regret this decision, not for the rest of your life, but for eternity. And so if you're here today and you've never been saved, I want to encourage you, man, have a relationship with Christ. Have a relationship with Christ. But for the vast majority of people here, you know you're saved. You know Jesus spoke to your heart. You know he lives inside of you. You just can't remember the last time you truly repented. You just can't remember the last time your heart broke over your sin. You started with A and went to U, I think it was the last letter. And you just let the Lord just wash over you and change you and remove things from your life and replace things and make you who he wants you to be. Man, if you have never taken repentance seriously, if you have never been challenged to let the Lord be God over every part of who you are and everything you have, I want to give you almost as great a gift as salvation. Almost. Because you're going to find out that when you confess your sin, when you agree with God, when you turn from them and you turn to him, you're going to find out something. You're going to find out there is a God in heaven that loves you, cares about you, and is calling you to a relationship and a life that you don't know nothing about. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of amens. A lot of people in here know it. And they already said amen. So listen, as Brother Ryan leads us in our invitation, you know I don't care. There's altars open. You do business back there. You can come down here with me. But the only thing that matters is not where you stand. It's not whether you kneel, whether you sit. What matters is what's in your heart. And we want to all go out with hearts that are right with the Lord.
Stand together as we respond to the Lord.
This is my last story, then we're going to go. When we were in Las Vegas, met two ladies that come from Wyoming down to Vegas to share, and they were sharing their three-minute story. One of them was 78 years old. She's down there sharing the gospel. And she told me that last year she had confessed to her husband that when she was in her 20s, she had committed adultery. All those years. Always wanted to tell him, just never could. I should have really, to be completely honest, I should have called her and let her share her story and played it for you on video. Because, you know, you think after all those years, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. She'd gotten her heart right with the Lord. I asked her, I said, well, how did you get back right with the Lord? She said, we started going to church. She said, the Lord called me. Said enough of that. And, you know, she can tell her own story. But this is what I'm telling us. If you think it's going to end or it's going to go away, it's not. It's not going to go away. That sin has got to be dealt with. It has got to be, because it's not only affecting your relationship with others. I mean, with the Lord, it's affecting your relationship with everybody. It always has, and it always will. Do not let the devil lie to you. Do not let the devil lie to you. So, speaking of the rodeo, many of you have come and shared. We have shared approximately 210 times. We've been over there on the pig days, and the pigs are on the other side. So we hadn't gotten to share as many times as we'd like, but there has been 13 salvations. And so very, very glad about that. So, yep, very, very glad. Many of you in here have already led somebody to the Lord over there, so that's quite astounding. And, you know, everybody's different. Some people tend to think about how many people respond to the gospel, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know. It's just because I'm different than everybody else, and I think y'all realize that about me by now. But You know the number that sticks in my mind? It's not the ones that say yes. It's the ones that turn around and walk off. And I'm going to tell y'all, so far that number's two, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. But anyway, hey, notice the only announcement I have is on the very bottom of the bulletin on the back. It's the leadership focus, and it's on the fellowship directors for our Sunday school. Please, please, please. If you are a fellowship director, we need you to be working with your class administrator. The classes are supposed to be working on a prospect list. Go away from the church and have a shindig. If you don't know what that means have fun, Southern Baptist style. And do something that people will enjoy and love those people on that prospect list into the kingdom of God. All right, so does everybody understand? And so that was about the weakest yes I've ever heard. It sounded more like feet shuffling than yes, but this ain't my first Sunday. So listen. That is our job. And if we're not doing that, then I can tell you what the number one thing we need to repent of. Right? Come on now. Right? Okay. All right. I don't know if they're buying that or not, but I'm going to give this to you while I'm still pastor.
I'm going to close us in prayer. If you would bow with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today and hear from you. And Lord, we ask that you take these words and you bind them to our heart, and that you just call us to the repentance that we need. Just bring to our heart those things which we need to give back to you and need your forgiveness for, Lord. I just pray that we work as we go through the week to do those very things. Lord, be with us now as we leave today, and just be with us throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.